Republican Eric Hovde has admitted he lost a U.S. Senate race, but he still has not conceded and now says there were election irregularities. It's Wednesday, November 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Republican Representative Robin Voss will continue to be Assembly Speaker in the Wisconsin Legislature, and a new program in Milwaukee County is working to further reduce the number of overdose deaths. Stay with us.
Bookend your day with Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
In a new study, researchers used machine learning to discover that sperm whale communication is much more complex than previously thought.
NPR's Philip Rees recently went to the former Soviet Republic of Estonia.
TikTok is fighting for its life here in the U.S.
The makers of the hit video app are suing the U.S. government in
response. But on the other hand, you are talking about universal themes like change. I mean, we are all continuing.
Weekdays on WPR News.
Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde has admitted he lost his race against Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin. That's less than 2 hours after he posted a video citing, quote, deep concerns over the results. Hovde has yet to concede his loss to Baldwin 1 week ago. The Associated Press called the race after Baldwin finished with a 29,000-vote lead over Hovde. In a video posted just after 3 p.m. Tuesday, he referenced claims about, quote, election irregularities in Milwaukee and accused Democrats of supporting third-party candidates who siphoned his votes. But soon after, Hovde told a conservative radio host on WISN AM that Baldwin's defeat was, quote, the most painful loss I've ever experienced.
So, you know, I will definitely pick myself up and and move on and continue to fight for our wonderful country and state.
Hovde has yet to say whether he'll request a recount. The official county canvass of results began yesterday and must be finished by next week. With her win over Hovde, Senator Tammy Baldwin became one of a handful of Democrats to win a national election from the same state that also elected former President Donald Trump. Anya Van Wagendonk has more on this swing state pattern.
Baldwin won her re-election narrowly, by less than 1% of the vote. President-elect Trump also won Wisconsin by about the same margin. In Arizona, Michigan, and Nevada, Democrats also won narrow election to the U.S. Senate, while Trump won at the top of those tickets. J. Miles Coleman is an analyst at the University of Virginia's Center for Politics. He said of all the states that swung from blue to red, Wisconsin swung the least.
At least compared to a lot of other states, they were really able to kind of limit the shift towards the Republicans.
Wisconsin's last three races for president have been decided by less than a percentage point, and now its last two U.S. Senate races have been decided by close to 1%. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican Representative Robin Voss will once again serve as Assembly Speaker after GOP lawmakers held a leadership vote yesterday. Voss has been in the powerful position since 2013, but this will be Republicans' narrowest hold on the chamber during his tenure. Democrats flipped 10 seats in the Assembly last week in an election held with new legislative maps. In the state Senate, Democrats re-elected Diane Hesselbein of Middleton to serve as leader in that chamber. She celebrated her party flipping 4 seats and ending a Republican supermajority.
And we are so happy to have Democratic Senators 15 to Republicans 18. And we have a pathway to the majority in 2026.
Yes.
All state assembly seats were up for election this year. Half of the state Senate seats were. The rest will be voted on in 2 years. Organizers of a new program in Milwaukee County are hoping that their efforts lead to a further decline in overdose deaths. Evan Casey joined them on a recent afternoon.
On a windy fall day, a small group of county outreach workers go door-to-door in Milwaukee's Sherman Phoenix neighborhood. They carry bags with Narcan, fentanyl test strips, and information about treatment and recovery services. The goal is simple: save lives. Overdose deaths have hit record numbers in Milwaukee County in recent years, but they're trending down this year. Ricky Person is in charge of the county's program. He says it's targeted at areas of the county where there are more overdoses.
People are amazed that there's something out there that they could test the drugs with to make sure that there's no fentanyl in it, because that's what's causing a lot of the overdoses in the community.
The program is funded through money from the settlement of a multi-state lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from a World War II veteran about an unexpected rivalry while serving. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about military service. It comes as people across the country celebrated Veterans Day earlier this week.
When serving in World War II, Tom Sitter of Madison didn't expect to fight his own countrymen. Though there were tussles with a tank division during his training days, he came to learn that differences were put aside with his fellow soldiers when the going got tough. The following story was told at the Moth during an open mic story slam in Madison, where the theme of the night was karma. As a warning to listeners, the story contains strong language. Here's Tom Sitter, live at the Moth.
Thank you. Now, during World War II, I found myself in France. Now, the Battle of the Bulge had started in December of that year and continued through January. When we got there, it was pretty much over, but I was in a medical battalion. We carried bodies and prisoners to station hospitals into the aid tents. Now, over there, we ran into our arch enemies, the 9th Armored Division. These guys were all tankers, and they were mean. We had both trained in Kansas near Fort Riley. I was in the cavalry at the time. In 42, they still had horse cavalry down at Fort Riley, in addition to the mechanized cavalry. So when we go into town, the tankers would be in these bars. They'd come, and we'd come walking in, and they'd say, "I smell horse shit. The 29th must be here." And we gave as good as we got. As a result, there were a lot of fights going on, a lot of. And first thing they did when we landed in France was to break us up into segments, and they put us with the 1st, the 3rd, and the 9th Army. So we were part of the 9th Army, and up near the Rhine, we were next to the British and Canadian troops. Now, the Rhine River started as a trickle in the Swiss Alps, and when it goes northeasterly, flowing into the North Sea, it becomes a huge river, you know, hundreds of yards across. We noticed when we got up close to the Rhine, we knew we were going to have to cross it, probably in rubber rafts or tiny boats. So we didn't look forward to that. And my rosary got a pretty good workout during that time. By early March, we had good news. Someone had captured a bridge at Remagen. It was a railway trestle bridge, and it was captured by our old arch enemies, the 9th Armored Division. Great guys. We reunited the 20th Armored Division, finally went to the point where we were going to cross. Now, the 9th Armored Division had fought terribly hard to win that. The Germans tried to blow up the trestle bridge, and what happened is some of the charges, for some reason, didn't go off. So the 9th Armored had to go into that trestle, crawling under fire, and to cut wires, remove charges that didn't detonate. At any moment, they thought the thing would go up into their face. And then at top of it, the bridge now was intact, but it was tilted and very shaky. You couldn't get a vehicle across there. So the 9th Armored dismounted, had crawled under fire, went across that bridge one at a time, and they established a bridgehead on the other side of the river. And they held that bridgehead long enough for pontoon bridges to be built where we were. But as we got onto this pontoon, I could tell it was shaking. We were swaying from side to side and dipping and everything else. And we knew that if we made one mistake, that ambulance was going to go into the water. Well, we finally got across the bridge. We went over and on the other side of the bridge. We united, and we got to Munich, and finally we crossed the river and got into Bavaria. And as we headed towards the Austrian border, May 7th, 1945, the war ended. Now, yesterday was May 7th, 72 years. To this day, I'm here telling that story because I wouldn't be here had it not been for those incredible bravery of those glorious bastards. the 9th Armored Division.
That was Tom Sitter from Madison at an open mic mock story slam in Madison. You can hear the full story and find more information at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Tyler Jitter.
And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We're back in your podcast feed again tomorrow morning, just like we are every single weekday morning. So until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.